Welcome to the FPL USA Press Play Podcast. We are the audio home of the hashtag FPL USA community. There's still time to hop on the bandwagon of fans of the best football in the world here in the States, but it's going to be cool pretty soon, so get on early. With that, we are coming out of game week 36, and it was filled with some big scores, and to honor that occasion, we have a mega, big, super podcast episode here. We got all three guests. We're welcoming Dan, aka FPL underscore Black Wolf, back. And we also have a super special guest. So with that, I'm Bucks, Brian, Dan, and secret guest. Let's get ready for everyone to say hello.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited and thrilled to have Dan behind the mics once again. He's gone through the ringer the last couple of months with some health stuff, and now I am staring deeply into his beautiful, beautiful brown eyes and seeing that big old smile. So, Dan, welcome back, buddy. What do you have to say to all your followers who missed you?
I am very, very happy to be back. It's been a really rough couple of months for me, and I've missed this podcast a lot. So I'm really happy to be back. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for the banter.
It's really dropped off quite a bit since you've been gone, but we've had some great guests to fill in your shoes while you've been gone. Your cleats were hung up for a couple episodes, but we're so thrilled to have you back. And maybe you can introduce our fourth member of the pod this week.
Sure. So we have a really good guest this week, a good friend in the FPL USA community. There's a lot of banter between the two of us pretty much every day on Twitter. It's FPL Paz. So welcome, Paz.
Thanks, everyone. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I was here last season. It was great. And now I'm glad to be back. You guys have done great things this season with so many guests. It's just an honor to be part of that group.
Yeah, Paz, it's great to have you back involved. And now you have, I don't think I was there the last time. It was just you and Brian. So you're getting the full Bucks experience, and the listeners are back to having the Black Wolf experience as well. So like I said, this is an uber special podcast. We are recording on Tuesday, game week 26, done and dusted, and we are marching forward with excitement and elation to double game week 37. But before we hit the fast forward button, let's just rewind. Let's talk about the four managers on the podcast tonight and the four green arrows we landed on.
We'll start with me. I am the lowest man on the totem pole. I ended up on 90 points, and that's even after some bench jam where I had Bruno Fernandes starting and Nico Jackson benched. So 16 points auto sub. Get the fuck in there. That's what we're talking about. You love to see it, baby.
Woo-woo!
Give me all that jam, rub it on my nipples, and still only mustered 90 points because even though I had all the ingredients for a stellar week, I'm just on the differential captaincy each and every week. I think for the last 10 weeks, just going rogue, going with whoever, and Foden just gets a measly assist. Meanwhile, the Norse deity, the god in the heavens above, Erling Haaland, gets four goals. Four fucking whammies right in my face. It's tough to handle, but this week, you know I'll be backing against him yet again as I have lost my season, but still ended up on a small green, whatevs. Let's kick it to the number two. Who is number two?
Oh, that's me. 104 points all out for my team. I get a green arrow finally from 59 to 51 KOR. No bench jam for me. I had Garnacho. He stunk up the joint, but I did have Haaland cap and a lot of returns in my team. Outside of Garnacho and my keeper, I think I went 9 for 11 in the return and haul department. So really happy with this game week and hoping that there's still a chance at a top 50K finish. With that, I think it's well and due to pass it over to the two managers who are really in the upper echelon of the overall ranks. Let's go to you first, Black Wolf. You're inside the top 10K and you promised you were going to bottle it, but we haven't quite seen the full destruction in effect just yet. So there's only two game weeks left. Can you finish in the top 10K?
I mean, I've been trying to bottle it lately. I fell asleep during the deadline for the first time ever during the double game week a couple of weeks ago. But I somehow managed to come through.
With that being said, I mean, You came to be pretty ill, so can't hate yourself too much for that one. That was forces out of your hands, but at least you had your bust team set.
Yeah.
You had your bust team.
You still outscored me in that game week, Brian. Don't make excuses for this guy. He's asleep, and I'm actively playing, and he's still knocking me down by 10 or so points.
But yeah, I played my wild card last week, and I put in Maguire and Cher as differentials to Burn and Dello, and they are both now injured, of course. I started Maguire this week, so I was really happy when Burn conceded, thinking, oh, at least I have Maguire, maybe he'll get a bullet header. And then, of course, during the halftime of the Tottenham game, we hear that he's injured. So I have to watch the second half of the Liverpool-Tottenham game, hoping that Pedro Porro does something. And as usual, he gets zilch because he's a piece of shit. So I finished on 106 points and a little green arrow into 8K. But I didn't get any bench jam like all of you Nico Jackson motherfuckers, because I was actually at 6K before that bench jam happened, and it knocked me all the way down to 8K. So I'm a little pissed about that.
All right, take your mini violin and shove it up your ass. Let's go next to you, Paz. You are the top man on the totem pole in the score department in game week 36, and you're hot on the heels of Black Wolf. I think the Wolf is in fourth place in the hashtag FPL USA Elite League. Are you fourth or fifth, Dan?
I am fifth right now, and Paz is sixth.
You are fifth, and I believe, Paz, you are just a measly 13 points behind in sixth place. So this is a blood feud just brewing right here between two of our hosts. Paz, tell the listeners how you did in game week 36.
Yes, I did pretty well. I ended up on 108 points. Before the game week, I had no idea. I mean, it was between Son, Gordon, and Bruno. I was chatting with Dan. I'm like, I didn't want to bench Gordon. I felt like, you know, you got to play Burnley. And then he didn't want to bench Son. And then I'm like, we kind of just like, all right, I guess Bruno's probably the odd man out. So we ended up benching Bruno, which obviously didn't really do much. You know, he ended up not playing, so everyone got the jam. Well, most people that walk are in 35. And then that dropped me down to, I think it was 11K, so like 1K. More. The thing that I was the most pissed about this week was, well, Burn conceding, that kind of sucked. And then Isaac missing the penalty, that also, it's not ideal. But Ederson, I wish he would have just not played. I wish he would have just been out. You know, if he doesn't play, then I get Petrovic, clean sheet, 6 points, and then I can deal with Ederson later. Or if he, yeah, like if he just didn't start this week, and then we deal with him in 37. That's probably the worst. I saw the goal after. It was just a terrible mistake by him. Yeah, what can you do? But other than that, it was a good week. I'm trying to finish on the top 10K again. So hopefully I can do it in the next 2 weeks. And yeah, that's probably my goal.
And just to confirm, the three of you still all have your bench boost chips remaining. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We are excited to bench boost in the massive double in game week 37. And just to add some context, especially for those who are chasing the top 10K, there's about 85% of managers in the top 10K with their bench boost remaining. And then overall, when you're looking at the entire FPL game, about 73% still have their bench boost left. So a lot of variance could be swinging in game week 37, and we cannot wait to see some massive scores. I want to see over 150 points for a lot of us, especially on the pod here, except for Bucks.
Yeah, I'm a little jelly having no chips, but I definitely don't want the jam off your disgusting hairy nipples, Brian. So keep that to yourself and your wife. I'm sure she'll enjoy that, some kinky stuff going on in the Chin household. With that,
I mean,
the
Bucks,
average
what's
score,
up with this? I fly coast to coast. I visit your household every time.
No nipple
I come
jam.
To New York,
no nipple jam.
And you will not even take a little bit of a nibble? Come on, buddy.
No.
Where's
no,
the love?
Not interested. Let's talk about the teams that needed a nibble, and the average score this game week was 71 points. So there were a couple teams who went differential captain like Brian and really ate it. I saw a couple unfortunate souls on the FPL community on X were in the 60s. I saw a score at 48. This was a particularly brutal game week to have a bad score. With a lot of managers, especially the engaged ones who recently wildcarded in triple digits. And we should just glow up another member of the FPL USA community, the manager of the game week in the Press Play Premiership, which is our podcast's free mini league, was FPL Conte. He landed on a massive 125 points with no chips. So that is massively impressive. Having his rank from 72 to 35K overall, he just very easily leapfrogged me. And in that mini league, we should say, there is a prize going out to the winner. Brian, you want to share who is right now in line to get the free kit sent to them at the end of the season?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me pull that up. But just wanted to give a shout out to FPL Conte. I know he'd been off of the Twitter sphere, the X. He was making sure that his systems were clean off the X, and now he is back. So good timing to have a stellar, massive 125-point game week. And like Buck said, we will be sending a free kit of the winner's choice, the winning manager of the Press Play Pod Premiership right now. Wow, it's tight at the top. We have
look who's in third place.
Yeah, we don't talk about that person. But in first place, Onana, what's my name? Sultan Saeed. He is in first place. He's got an 8-point cushion on FPL Street, who's in second. And then some guy who's a Wolves fan is somehow in third. And I don't know if we need, if you were to come back and win the free Press Play Premiership League, I would say we'll not be sending you a jersey because you got a sick, sick jersey recently. So tell the listeners about that little antidote.
Yeah, I was manager of the month for February for at FPL Juice, a really fun YouTube show for the FPL community. And I actually got a signed Pedro Neto away shirt sent to the USA from England. It's hanging up on my wall right now.
Damn.
Yeah. It's worth like $300 or something like that. So I'm super happy.
You got to make that your background for your pod appearances and your YouTube appearances.
Put it right here.
Yep, that's right. You know,
we did also get you a kit, Black Wolf. So I think but you're not going to win. So
I will give it to second.
Yeah, we're going to give it to Sultan or to FPL Street. It looks like they are comfortably going to finish top two. And it's been a really competitive mini league. The top team is inside the top 5K. And we have close to, I believe, 300 managers in the mix. So thank you again for interacting with this podcast, for going above and beyond and joining the free mini league. We are ecstatic to spend the money and send this jersey to you wherever you are in the world. It's well worth it. And it makes it so fun for us to run this podcast. With that, I think it's time. Let's take a break. We'll come back and dive deep into the action in game week 36.
Time to hit the rewind button just to highlight a few of the happenings around the Premier League. And I think we have to start with Chelsea, because Mr. Bucks is wearing his Chelsea kit and they win 5-0. They hammer West Ham. At FPL Fella was crying. He was a previous guest of the pod earlier in the season. Bucks, what a performance, a 5-0. With that being said, Bowen did hit the post, hit the woodwork, what, 3-4 times? So this was a very, very fortunate clean sheet for all the Chelsea defenders. So Paz, you can't really beat yourself up too much about it. Like, that was a very lucky clean sheet for Chelsea. And I know you had Ederson in goal. So, Bucks, gloat. Is something happening here at Chelsea? Are we building some momentum for the first time heading into next season?
It's convenient that we're going up against teams with not a lot to play for. But yes, Chelsea right now are absolutely cooking. The system change to go three at the back in possession is clearly working. I can't wait to see this system in place, probably with Poch at the helm and with Enzo Fernandez playing in that Mark Cucurella role. He's just so much more talented. And I don't subscribe to this is Enzo's fault. The fact that he's out is making the team play better. I think when you have your best players, you play those best players and you find the role to maximize their skill set. But with that, Nico Jackson, absolutely on fire. A fantastic debut season in the Premier League. He lands on 16 FPL points, 2 goals, an assist, and 3 bonus points, which is huge for many managers who brought him in on wildcard. Madueke, also in great form. He gets another double return, a goal, assist, clean sheet, and 2 bonus points. And of course, Cole Palmer tied with Bukayo Saka as one of the top midfield scorers this FPL season. He gets a goal and clean sheet, adds another 8 points. He's a must own for FPL, and we will be seeing a substantial price change on the lad for next season, as he is clearly Chelsea's talisman. And yeah, it's great to be rooting for Chelsea right now. There is still an outside chance of European qualification, but I still don't trust our defense, and I don't really trust Petrovic. He hasn't shown me much, and I think he'll probably be number two when we return for next season. We'll probably bring in a true number one keeper there. So don't beat yourself up too much, Paz. What did you see in this game?
Yeah, I was actually very impressed by Madueke the whole time. I mean, he just looks like such a threat down the right wing. I do think that just on an FPL perspective, like, if you do want to chase, you know, your mini league or your rank, that's a, just a good differential to have. You know, most people are going to have Palmer, most people are going to have Jackson, but a player like that, just, I don't think that many people are going to have. So it's just a perfect way of just putting yourself in a position to get lucky and be able to, you know, chase those mini leagues and do that. Because so many people, like, have the same team at this time of the year. So you need to find those differentials.
Yeah, if you have a Bruno Fernandes problem and are only on a double up of Chelsea, Madueke is definitely a decent shout going into the double game week. It's been interesting to see him just really grow in confidence and his take-ons especially. He's very confident with the ball right now and getting into the box, so you love to see that. And just overall, from a Chelsea perspective, we're Bucks and I are very excited to see this formation change and then also just dream a little bit with Nkunku back next season. I mean, he was supposed to be what Cole Palmer has been this year for Chelsea. Like, he's that highly rated. He's been injured with the rest of the fucking guys in the locker room at this Chelsea team. But hopefully next season he will be in the lineup very consistently and push Mudryk to the bench. And there could be some goals to come for Nico Jackson. Again, young player rounding form, first year in the Premier League. But if you have both Palmer and Nkunku behind him playmaking, it's very exciting for the prospects for this Chelsea team from FPL perspective next season.
And, you know, Madueke might steal a penalty here or there. You never know. They might get into more fights. They might steal. You can just always get lucky like that. So you never know.
Yeah, I think Madueke is going to be nailed on to start. I also think Jackson is probably a priority transfer with the lack of forwards and lack of forwards that have double game weeks and then good fixtures in 38. He could be on the short watch list for managers who don't have him already. I definitely think that Chelsea have some of the easiest fixtures remaining of the teams that double. So they get the bonus fixture and then they get to play more cupcake fixture in 38. So I think that's enough on Chelsea. They're still relatively mid-table, all things considered. Let's focus in on the teams at the top of the table and going for a title, because those teams also will be doubling, specifically Manchester City, who drop 5 goals on the pups of Wolverhampton. Welcome back, Dan, aka the biggest Wolves fan I know. Here's 5 goals on your head. And it was Erling Haaland doing the damage. 21 points, 4 goals, and 3 bonus points. He had 2 PKs in the first half. Definitely didn't have that on my bingo card.
Yeah, I mean, in the group chat, I predicted this would be 5-0 to Man City. Wolves are truly on the beach right now. We're just looking like we don't really care. I mean, we're not really playing for anything, maybe a couple of positions in the table, but we've got nothing to play for right now. Man City at home fighting for the league. They were always going to destroy us in this game. So having 3 Man City and captaining Haaland was the obvious choice, especially with how weak we are through the center right now. You have a point, Bucks?
Yeah, Dan, I have to harken back to earlier episodes where you said the next time that City double, you will for sure have Rodri in your team. And he was one of the stars of the show. He had 2 assists and 2 bonus points. Will he be coming in to your FPL team?
I've been keeping notes of this as well. I dropped it in one of our group chats on X. So, yeah. Dan, I mean, top 10K. This could propel you into the top 5K. Mr. Rodri.
Yeah, I mean, I was genuinely very tempted. However, I picked Maguire and Cher on my wildcard, so I have those. assholes to deal with, and potentially Bruno Fernandes as well. So I highly doubt he's coming in, but I really think he's going to continue to score big. He gets in great positions in front of goal. He's always there to feed on that loose ball. So
All right. At the very least, you have to pick him in your FPL challenge team this week. That has okay, to be a deal. Must. That's nailed.
Deal. Let's do that. Deal. But yeah, this was an easy victory for Man City. I honestly think they're going to go on to win the league quite comfortably. I don't see them losing another game. And yeah, Wolves assets, I think no one wants to play with them anymore. No one's interested anymore. So I've kind of lost my job as until next season.
The most fun part about this end of the season is when you have teams that are on the beach, or even when they're playing each other, you know there's going to be goals, right? You're just switched off a little bit defensively. You're going to give up big chances, and we cannot wait for hopeful goal fests here in Double Game Week 37 and especially in Game Week 38. So hopefully we will see some big scores to come.
Yeah, I mean, just all to right. Touch on that again, last game of the season, Liverpool are playing Wolves. Wolves are going to be on the beach. It's Liverpool's last home game with Jurgen Klopp. And I think a lot of people who did wildcard 35 are going to struggle to get any Liverpool assets, especially if they have injuries to deal with and if they're focusing on Arsenal, who are going to be fighting for the title. So if you have Liverpool assets, I think they're going to be really, really good differentials in the next couple of weeks, especially Salah. And we can move on to Liverpool and Spurs now.
You're a pro podcaster. I love that you nailed that transition. Let's talk about the teams that scored 6 goals. Liverpool just smashed Spurs right out of the park. 4-2. Those were 2 garbage time goals by Spurs. And they might be on the beach the way their form has dipped. It is an ultimate turn to the Spursy. That's the 3-point lane that we know and love as Chelsea supporters. And I was just very impressed. The fact that Salah starts and Halls, he gets 13 FPL points, a goal, 2 assists, but no bonus points. I think this validates what I was saying on the last episode, that I really think that Klopp was at fault in that altercation with Salah. Because if you have something to play for, you play your best players. And Salah is by far and away Liverpool's best player. So I just think it was a little bit of a travesty after 7 years together that he's benching him down the stretch of a title run.
I mean, you could also argue, though, Books, that he's been kind of shit for the past 3 or 4 games. Klopp benches him, then puts him back in, and he rewards that behavior with a 13-pointer. So maybe Klopp's a genius. You could look at it that way.
Yeah, he's a genius who played them out of title contention. Just like he's, you know, the best manager in the history of the Premier League. It's just, the defense of Klopp is, like, absurd. The guy's PR team is undefeated.
They missed, like, 100 chances. Darwin Nunez could have got a hat-trick in every single game. If they could have just finished their chances, they would be top of the table right now.
Too bad. I mean,
yeah, Salah, if I had Salah 2 wheels, I would be a bicycle. I mean, come on. What the fuck are we talking about here?
Salah did not deserve any bonus points in that game, though, because did you see the sitter that he missed? Even Darwin would have put that in, and therefore, I'm very happy to see him on 0 bonus points.
We should talk about Richarlison. Him, Gakpo, and Harvey Elliott each notch a goal and assist, but Richarlison does it from a bench appearance. I was pretty impressed with him, and I think he could be a mega differential in Double Game Week 37. I expect he will start both those games now that he's fit, and many managers do not have a pathway to get him. A lot of managers who are on wildcard have Madison, and he's stinking up the joint. So Richarlison, is he in your thoughts, Paz, or Dan?
Yeah, for me, he's definitely my thoughts. I mean, my path would be just Bruno to him, just an easy downgrade. I mean, I do think also if you're stuck in that Madison, you know, position, I would make the sideways move as well. I would just make that transfer. It's just not, I mean, Madison's just not getting it done. He's getting benched. Fitness is not there. The report came out that he got injured in the Chelsea game, I believe. Yeah, and he picked up a knock in the second half, so. The minutes are not there for him, and not even the set pieces. Like, Poro's taking some set pieces. So I would make that move as well. And then from Bruno, that I'll definitely make that. If we hear anything from Ten Hag on Friday that Bruno's, you know, a doubt for one of the games, I would make that. I'm tempted to make that move as well.
And Paz, let's dig a little deeper. If you make that move, will you then have the funds to swap Richarlison to someone like Salah, or even get to a maybe a Arsenal triple up if you're not there already for 38?
So going on that, I haven't played around with it as much. I know I can get to Havertz. So I can get to Havertz from, and that would be selling Anthony Gordon. So I would make that move. I just don't think I can get to Saka. I just have to play around with the, you know, with the app, but I think I'll be like 0.4 short. But that's 2-3 transfers going into 38. So I could probably, you know, downgrade Ederson, for example, right? Because I think Petrovic has Bournemouth, so that's, I don't mind that, and I can just dead end the goalie spot or something like that, and then make that move. So I will still have the money to get an Arsenal triple up, but for Salah, the pathway is just so hard. I do agree with Dan that that's a prime fixture for Liverpool. So maybe someone like Diaz can come in. I just don't think I can get to Salah.
Okay, interesting. Let's finish up. Let's talk quickly about Newcastle. They also drop a 4 spot against Burnley. Isak, the man in focus, he gets his goal, as he always does when he starts, with 7 points. But he could have been on a massive double-digit haul, missing the penalty kick. That was a brutal swing for owners of Isak and Gordon, if you have that double up like I do, because Gordon would have gotten that assist if he converts the PK. Gordon ends up on 6 points, which is good. He gets an assist and clean sheet, but they both would have been comfortably in the bonus if Isak converts that. And there is news right now that just dropped that Callum Wilson, who could be an interesting differential that I was talking up, might be out with a hamstring injury. So that is breaking news dropping on the FPL USA Press Play Pod.
Wow, you should see Blackwell's face. It is, he's like a ghost. He is so shocked that that's what would happen to Callum Glassman Wilson. But I think I feel really bad for those who went with the rogue captaincy on Isak, because he's been in great form. He should have been on, what is that, like 16 points he should have been on as a captain, yeah, 32
at least
points.
15. At least 15.
Yeah, so that was really rough to see him miss that pen. And I think going into this next game week, I'm a little bit curious about Callum. We'll see if this report is actually true or not. But I know that a lot of managers last year just smashed it when he featured in the double game week towards the end of the season, Mr. Bucks included. So yeah, I think overall, I am also a little concerned about Gordon just from an attacking output. Like he's diving a bit. He's not really been doing too much goal scoring. He's always getting an assist, but the guy's going down left and right. It's a bit annoying to watch him right now.
Just going on back to the penalty, I'm pretty sure they had converted like the last 21 or 22 penalties to Newcastle. Like, it was just insane that happens at that point.
Isak's first miss ever for Newcastle, I believe.
Right? And then he also had the last game, when he got the penalty as well, I think it was, it was 35. I was watching the game and they were all saying like, oh, they haven't missed in 22 times, like jinxing them. And I'm like, oh, come on, don't miss this time. And then this time they do miss. So it's just absolutely brutal swing. That's 16 points. And then for Gordon, I do agree. Like if he does play in that more left mid role, the attacking output is a little different. But he still has set pieces if Trippier is not there. So that's something I do like about Gordon at that price. It's just set pieces. You know, I wouldn't make a move out of him.
Definitely not a priority transfer, especially with the double game week fixtures that Newcastle have. I think they'll be heavy favorites in both. Let's wrap it up by talking about the current league leaders, Arsenal. They're in a dogfight with Manchester City, and they squash the Cherries 3-0. Arsenal just humming along, and we should just glow up Declan Rice, one of the signings of the season. He is just having a brilliant, brilliant performance-filled season for FPL and in real life. 14 points, a goal, assist, clean sheet, and 3 bonus. Very deserved. And then Bukayo Saka also gets another big haul. He's been punishing those who sold him on wildcard. He lands on 10 points, a goal, clean sheet, and 2 bonus points. And of course, Arsenal are the only defense that could be trusted. So there's a lot of points to be had from these Arsenal lads.
The team is so freaking good, man. It's been just a joy to bank all these clean sheet points in your defense each and every weekend. Gabrielle was very close to having a 14 or 15 pointer, just a fraction offside in the buildup there, right? So I think a lot of managers who have all these defensive problems in their team will be looking to Arsenal because they play at home versus Everton in 38. They're concentrating to at least keep the pressure on City for the title. So I don't know what other, I mean, we're going to get into it in our hashtag FPL community questions later, but their defensive assets are just so much better than anybody else out there. So I'm curious to see what problems that you guys think we can solve with their team, because the attack is good, the defense is good. They're just a great FPL team, but we'll still won't win the title.
I'm sick of Saka. I just can't. Like, we stole him and now he just gets point after point, penalties. So the defense is amazing, though. Nothing else you can say about that.
This Saka guy has trolled us all season. When we have him, he hardly does anything. When we don't have him, he gets double-digit hauls every week. He's so frustrating. He drives me crazy. But he'll probably be in my team for 38, depending on what my rank is. Like, if I'm in the top 10K, I think he's a good rank protection to have in gaming 38.
He's tricky. He's tricky to get back into your team. I mean, Paz, Black Wolf, and I all wildcarded in 35. And, like, what is he, 9.7, 9.8 million? It's a tricky price point to get to. That's why I think a lot of us will be eyeing Kai Havertz in 38 instead, because you can just swap maybe one of your mids up to him, or you could even downgrade Bruno to Kai. I mean, that's even a move I'm considering this week if he is indeed injured.
I can get to Saka straight from Bruno Fernandes in 38 with the moves I have planned this week. So I'll probably just do that depending on my rank, if I'm chasing or holding.
Yeah, I think I have Saka because I didn't have any chips to get rid of him. But I should say that I think any moves being made, especially for those on bench boost going into double game week 37, which we'll talk about in further detail in just a moment, should be made with an eye on that 38 game week as well, the final fixture. So you should really be looking at all three fixtures for any player that you're bringing in, or at least anyone you bring in or anyone you sell, make sure that they don't have a cupcake fixture in game week 38 so that you're not needing to burn two transfers to, you know, get ahead one move, so to speak. So I think that's really critically important. And that could close out our recap. We take our last break. Let's get into that preview for the big double game week 37, where I will be crying a lot behind my couch.
Looking forward to videos of that, Bucks, of you just suffering while everyone else bench boosts and get, like, what, 9 extra players, it feels like. Time to fast forward to double game week 37, as we have so many teams doubling this game week. The most important ones are going to be Man City, who are going to play twice, and they need to get 2 3-point outcomes to be top of the table. Then we also have Tottenham, Newcastle, Chelsea, and a little tiny team called Manchester United, all doubling. Some people are still motivated for European slots, but I think it's pretty clear who the best teams are from an FPL perspective. So let's open the forum up to the lads. What do you guys want to talk about? Who do you want to talk about first? Let's ask the guest, Paz.
Yeah, I mean, this week it's tricky. I do want to, you know, talk about, I think Spurs are the ones that are the most interesting, right? Because they have Burnley in their first game. But then they have City, right? So a lot of people are just, they're not sure what to do with that, right? Because you have that easy fixture first, but then you have City. So that's just a team that I think it's in the community's very divisive. In attack, you know, they see the Burnley one as like it's a guaranteed points for everyone, right? But the tricky part is that if they blank there, then, you know, you have City next. So what to do there? But they do have Sheffield United away in 38. So I think that that's just one of the most interesting teams in 37.
And Paz, who would be your ideal triple up if you were so inclined to go there from Spurs? What do you think is the best way to attack this double game week and that Sheffield fixture?
Yeah, I I think Son is going to play all the minutes. So that's an obvious one. But I just think Richarlison will be, he just checks all the boxes with, like, he has good underlying numbers. He has the prices there. He has the fixtures in 36 going to play a striker role. And Spurs just attack. I wouldn't want to go that much into defense. I mean,
yeah, this is a trick question. This is a trick question, Bucks. There's only two players that you would want to own from the Spuds right now, given their form. So I can't believe you're setting traps up for our guests, Bucks.
I don't know. I think Vicario could be a contender with that Chef U fixture and the potential for a lot of saves. I know Onana was being floated around the FPL community on social media. I'd much rather have Vicario than Onana, but I'm fortunate that I don't have this issue. I'm going to have neither of those guys and just one keeper the rest of the season. Easy breezy.
I mean, also, their defense, everyone turns their nose up at their defense because they're so shit. But if you look at people like Romero, for example, he comes up with a random bullet header every now and again. You never know. He could score against Man City, for all we know. So you know,
or get a red card.
Get a red card, exactly. I think for people like me who have defensive issues they have to solve, and they have two Tottenham, Romero is an option to go along with Pedro Porro. However, there's two issues with that. First of all, you're locking yourself out of Richarlison if you do need to go there. Second of all, if you look at your game week 38 team, you're likely going to be playing Gabriel and White as two of your defenders, probably Pedro Porro as your third defender. Therefore, you're going to have the other Tottenham defender sitting on your bench. So I know we're saying, oh, they have Sheffield United as their last fixture, but if you have a defender, you're probably not going to be playing him. So that's why I'm probably going to advise against bringing in a second Tottenham defender for those reasons.
I think I'd rather play Romero over Porro with the current form that this team is in.
I agree. That's my hot take. Most people picked Porro on the wildcard. If you are picking one this week, I would probably go Romero. He gets more goal scoring opportunities. If Madison's playing, Porro isn't on set pieces anymore. Although he does get shots still. Again, in the Liverpool game in the second half, when I knew that I was going to get his points off the bench, he almost got an assist for me. So. It can happen. It's FPL so random, and you're going to get two fixtures. Man City, as good as they are, they can concede. They conceded against Wolves, so you never know.
Yeah, and typically Spuds play Man City pretty well. They set up in a counter-attacking position, but the form of Spuds right now is just so poor. So I see them maybe getting a goal. Maybe a 3-1 loss or something, a scrappy goal at the end. Kind of same thing. I think the game script that happened in the Liverpool game is going to be very similar to what City will do to them. But like we said, the Burnley fixture and then also having Chef U in 38 do make them appealing. But all right, let's kick it on to the next team and talk about Newcastle. I have Cher the singer crying on my bench. What do we think of their defense? Because a lot of people are going to be on AGO and then also on Isak. Callum Wilson might be injured, so he's off the list. What do we do with their defenders? Is a little Livermento shout or a Hall shout more fun than going with Dan Burn?
As annoying as the Cher injury was, we kind of got away with it a little bit because Burn has only came out with an extra 1 point in that first game and then 2 points against Burnley. It could have went a lot worse. If you have Cher, I think moving to another Newcastle defender makes total sense. Again, I'm talking about rank protection here. It depends on what your rank is. But I'm also looking at Livramento as a potential differential to Dan Burn. I mean, Dan Burn is highly owned. He's like, 46% owned in the top 10K where I am. So if he does anything and Livramento is benched, I'm going to be screwed. But Livramento looked so good in that last game. If I knew he was going to play both games, I would pick him.
I mean, I in your spot, know. you got to go with Dan Burn if you're going to pick a Newcastle defender there, because if Dan Burn can come up with that header or that scrappy goal in a set piece, and if he gets 15 points and you're sitting there with Livramento who got subbed at halftime or some shit, you're screwed. Like, that's a 14 point potential turnaround. So that's the only thing I would be fearful of. And then wasn't Pope on the bench as well? Yeah. Like there are some rumors that he could come back in. That definitely strengthens their defense. If he starts over Dubravka, TBD, we'll see on pressers if he's going to be fit enough to possibly get one of these in the double game week, but I'm sure that he would like to get back in after having such a lengthy time off.
I don't rate the sideways Newcastle defender move. I think I'd rather go figure out if you have the slot open for City. And then next up, I would probably prioritize the Chelsea defense.
Bucks.
I agree with you, Bucks. But here's the problem. Everyone that wildcard on 35 has already tripled up on City and tripled up on Chelsea. We've got nowhere to go. So the sideways move to Newcastle is, unless Callum Wilson is fit and firing, there's nowhere else to go. There really isn't.
A Dubravka owner, it's a little moldy cheese-esque going to the Newcastle defense, and not like blue cheese, which can actually be delicious at times. It's like the rank stank that you don't want to have on your FPL team. Take it from me. And right now, I think just going Arsenal defense is the safe and smart move. I know
expensive,
we'll talk about
though,
it.
Bucks. It's very expensive. That's why I guess, you know, we're going to look at some of these questions later, but it is a very tough problem to solve because of the expensive nature of the defenders.
And again, people that wildcard in 35 are already on double defense, and I'm certainly not going to triple up on their defense and lock myself out of an attacker in 38. Paz, I'm curious what you think about this. If you're in the situation where you have to get two defenders and you're already tripled up on Chelsea, tripled up on City, where would you go?
Yeah, man, that's tough. I do think I would probably just make the side. I will make a sideways move to a Newcastle defender, just depending where I am in rank. You know, if you're trying to protect, you go with Dan Burn. If you're trying to chase him upside, though, like if you're sitting at their like top 25K, right? Like between top 25K and top 50K is the same thing. Are you trying to chase that top 10K finish? I think Livermento will probably be the one, because I do think that he can just have a haul in him. He could get benched, right? But he can also have, you know, low owned and goal or assist, clean sheet, bonus. He can do that. So, or Lewis Hall, but you run the risk of being benched.
You guys shouted out Pope. You think there's any way for you to get Trippier in? I know he's very pricey, but is that at all in the cards if he's ruled fit?
I mean, if we knew for a fact that he was fit and he was going to play both games, then I would probably go Trippier. But we're getting no news on him. How is
he's
a liar
so
constantly?
Old. He's so old. Like, why would they risk him playing both games in a double game week when they don't need to do that? I think that's the other thing. And it's like, he's way more expensive than White and Saliba. So you would most likely not go there.
You're also probably ruling yourself out of the Havertz Saka move in 38 if you go Trippier as well.
Such a fucking conundrum. All right, let's keep it moving here, boys. Should we just bash Manchester United for a minute? I mean, holy shit, what is ETH doing? This side sucks. They got injuries up and down the pitch. I am kind of ready to possibly just move on from Bruno, even if he's healthy. I might even hit Bruno out because this team looks fucking rank. They look terrible.
I think we should ask Paz as the United fan.
I was
going to
say, Paz, you got a horse in this race.
Wow.
What
slandering. I didn't even know that. I forgot that he was a United fan.
And you have Bruno and I have Garnacho. So I'm interested to hear what your take is. Especially, I am considering a rogue move off Garnacho. It was not my initial move, but I'm definitely interested in your 2 cents here.
And so far this season, I've just been a hater United fan. I've been, you know, enjoying the downfall. I am a United fan, but man, just the direction that we're going at, it's just like just miserable. So you gotta just laugh at it. And I would make the move out of Garnacho. I mean, I think it's a luxury move for sure. But if you want to chase him up, so I mean, we're playing Arsenal, who have one of the best defenses. Without Bruno, I just don't see a lot of attacking. You know, as a double Arsenal defense owner, I really want Bruno not to play. They didn't do anything against Crystal Palace. I mean, there was that goal that got offside, but it just didn't. They never looked like the clean sheet looked. It was a lock. You know, they didn't look a threat at all. And I would probably move out of Garnacho as well. It just depends where are you going, right, with that, because that's a weird price point.
I can get up to Foden. We'll talk about it a little later, but you read my mind a little bit with that Madueke shout. I thought I would be the only one with him on the brain. So maybe I'm not as insane as I thought coming into this podcast. All right. It looks like Dan and Brian are both reading something or looking at Dan's OnlyFans. So let's go to the community questions. It is awesome to see so many of our loyal listeners and members of the hashtag FPLUSA community contribute with some burning questions going into the big double game week 37. This is a massive point in the season, especially for those managers chasing and with chips remaining, specifically bench boost. So let's try and help some of these awesome managers out with our point of view. Brian, why don't you start from the top? Who's asking the first burning question?
Sure. We have one from friend of the show at FPL Dallas. He asks, since we already know that Veltman is a better pick than Dunk, can you please list out the top reasons for why this is?
I have to jump in here, right? he's been DMing this guy, this absolute nutter. He's mental. He makes me laugh every day, but he is crazy. He is so obsessed with Veltman right now. And he refuses.
More than Gahey?
More
than
Gahey.
That's the big question. What?
He did some crazy speech about dreaming about the sunrise or something like that. I don't know what this guy talks about half the time, but he thinks Veltman is a great, great pick for Brighton. And I don't know. I think Dunk is the better option. I think Dunk has more of a goal threat. I don't think Veltman is nailed. You can always have Igor and who's the other guy on the other wing? Forget his name. Begins with a B. Well, the ginger
Barco.
Head.
Barco.
Yeah, correct.
Barco Bargnani.
Veltman is not 100% nailed. I think he'll play both, but he's not guaranteed. I don't know.
Yeah, Bracco didn't start this past weekend either. So it's a... I mean, what are Brighton playing for? They did get a random win versus Villa, which was surprising, but they haven't scored more than one goal in like 2 months. Like they've just been so putrid.
And the fixtures are tough. Their last three games are away at Newcastle, home to Chelsea, home to Manchester United. Now, I don't know how tough those last two games are, but they're certainly more difficult than some of the runs that the other teams that are doubling have. So I don't know. I think Brighton are comfortably last on my list of teams to prioritize with transfers.
I am considering them though with my Maguire and Cher issue. I am considering Dunk just as a punt. I think they'll concede both games, but you never know with this guy. He might get a bullet header and I might get lucky. He'll be very, very low owned. He won't hurt me if he doesn't do anything. So I don't mind the Dunk shout.
Yeah, he's 5.2 million. I've been looking at him as well. He's had other big FPL moments along the way and can play 180 minutes. I think that's the only thing I'm concerned with Veltman. You know, this Dutch guy might not play both matches. And then again, you're transferring in a guy who's not going to play at least 150 minutes this week is terrible if you're on bench boost. So I would always try and play it safe if you can, but who knows why FPL Dallas becomes so obsessed with these random defenders. Maybe we'll get him on the pod again next year to better understand the inner workings of his mind.
I think just going quickly on the points that were made, like if you're picking this defender, right, they're already a differential. Whichever one you pick, it's already differential. So you might as well go for the safe one, right? They're both going to be lonely owned. So why even go for the more obscure option? He could probably do better, but I would just go for Dunk and hope you get lucky.
Fucking obscure is perfect. That's what that describes Veltman as.
I think there's a not 0% chance that the Arsenal lads will outscore Dunk and Veltman by 2 and 3 points respectfully in this double game week. So that's my hot take in response to FPL Dallas's takes.
We already own double Arsenal though. That's the point.
Yeah.
I know that, but that's what I'm saying. If you want to use a transfer to bring in a defender, you should be looking at the upside chasing moves. And I think the Brighton guys aren't it. They've been shitting the bed since the start of the new year. They suck.
Yeah, it's De Zerbi's fault. De Zerbi's fault. He's probably telling all his guys to get injured and then doesn't know how to pick a lineup out of left field. So all right. Let's cute. Yeah. Yeah. He fucking does think he's a cute Italian, doesn't he? That guy.
Says you're copying his bearded look up there. Let's go to the next question.
I had it first.
All right. I think when he was in Ukraine, he built that beard while you were still massaging your face with beard oil. Let's go to another bearded lad at FPL Barrister, aka Jeremy. He's asking about any single game week players we should be targeting, or I think he's on bench boost. So any players that fit the bill, maybe Mo Salah, who you shouted out earlier, Dan?
I think it depends again. If you're on a wildcard, you probably don't have any. If you're on wildcard 35, sorry, you probably don't have many funds whatsoever. I kind of like the Luton defense. Not the Luton, sorry. I'm going to take that back. The Everton defense for this single game week at home to Sheffield United. I think someone like Branthwaite would be a good option and an alternative to the people we've discussed already. But outside of that, Arsenal midfielder. If you have an Arsenal midfielder, I was talking to Connor Hunt from the last episode, who has Havertz. I'm not sure him moving off Havertz is a good decision. I think he can easily get a great score against Man United, and then he's already in place for 38. So I think Arsenal and Everton are the two single game week teams that I would target.
Other random punts, I like Michael Olise playing your Wolves. He looked absolutely unplayable versus United. Obviously, United are on their fourth stringers, but he looks so, so good and oozing with talent, whereas the other side with Eze, he's coming off of a little bit of an injury. So Olise, I really like that shout potentially, and he's priced to buy. So that's another player that you could fit in there. I know, Bucks, you mentioned Liverpool away to Villa. I don't like that at all, especially Villa coming off of a loss and they're trying to secure top four. Don't like it at all. I would avoid Liverpool assets this week. And like you guys said, the Arsenal lads, they're fucking good. So get them in.
Yeah, and Barrister is an Arsenal fan. So head and heart alignment for you, Jeremy. Next question comes from The Run CMC, aka Corey. He's asking what we've all been wondering. If Bruno is a doubt to play both fixtures, Richie, the optimal move?
I think so. I think it's you know, it fits all the boxes. I think double game week, a good fixture that he's for sure going to start against Burnley, which is the one that you want. And then, you know, City's the extra. I just don't see that many other options. I mean, if you want to play it safe, just go with Saka, right? That's like the other way you can go with it. But I would make that move.
Did you hear Ange's comments? He was kind of suggesting that Richarlison is not part of the future plans. I wonder if he gets the green light in game week 38 or if he gets, you know, close to 150 minutes in this double game week. Spurs don't really have all that much to play for. I think they get even 2 points before the end of the season. I think they finish fifth without much challenge. You have any perspective on that, Dan?
I mean, I think they can still technically, I mean, they have to hope that other teams lose, but they can get to where they want to be. So I think they're going to want to win these three games. I think they're going to do everything they can to win them. And I think Richarlison makes them a better team. I think Richarlison and Maddison, when they came on in the Liverpool game, they just totally changed Tottenham. They look so much better with those two players on the pitch. So I think Richarlison is a good option. If Bruno is fit, though, I would keep him. I know they have difficult fixtures at Arsenal and Newcastle, and I know Man United have been so crap, but Bruno, he gets double-digit hauls every single double game week. He's on penalties. He's a bonus points monster. So if we hear that he's fit, I would not move off him, even for Richarlison, if I'm honest.
Sorry, who are you describing? Were you describing Rodri or Bruno? I got confused there.
Same thing. No difference.
You know, Bruno Fernandes leads the Premier League with chances created, and that is a near miracle achievement considering the lads that are playing around him, because that United team are, I think they would be, without Cole Palmer, Chelsea and United, without Bruno, they'd be battling relegation. That's the quality of the team around those two kind of real talisman type players.
Yeah, I mean, just to add into more detail here, I think most people, and again, I think this is someone who's wildcarded, have Bruno Fernandes and then a Manchester United defender.
Yup.
Ideally,
preach into the choir. Yeah. Preach into the choir, Dan.
Ideally, you want to go into game week 38 with two free transfers if you have that luxury, which a lot of people do. Therefore, I would use one free transfer personally to take Dalot out before Bruno Fernandes. I would. Dalot is going to get no points. This guy, they're so awful defensively. You'll be lucky that you don't come away with minus points with this guy. So I personally would take out Dalot before I take out Bruno. Bruno's going to play. He'll be fine. What do you think, Paz? Because you're a Dalot and Bruno Fernandes.
You know what? I'm tempted to, if Bruno's out, go to Richarlison, and then I'm tempted to just go ahead and go with and take Dalo out. And then I don't see any, you know, I want to go with two transfers to 38, but the only move I'm seeing is just a to an Arsenal midfielder, right? So, like, I don't see how I'll need both transfers in 38. So, might as well just play it, you know, attack the 37, attack what's in front of me, and use both on Dalo out and Bruno out. If Bruno's a doubt, right? Because I, you're right. I don't want to. Dalo's just, man, that team's just, you know, are so bad defensively that.
How about if Bruno is fit? If Ten Hag said he's guaranteed to play, he's perfectly fine, what will you do?
That's tough. I mean, I think I'll probably keep him and then go Dalo out and then roll the other transfer. I just, yeah.
I know
it's
you'd
90
be,
minutes.
You would be so pissed if Bruno did anything and you took him out.
I was, yeah, dude, he just gets blue balls. He's like the worst type of player to have sometimes when you own. He like creates all these chances and doesn't convert any. I was so pissed in 35. I'm like, dude, just get something. Like, just someone has to get an assist. Someone, it's awful. It was like the last season, you know. Last season, I kept him for so long, because, and then he got like a 10-pointer, 11-pointer against Villa, and then I kept him to the end of the season, and he didn't do anything after. I'm like, this gives you that, keeps coming back.
I think in your position, I would definitely be using both your transfers this week if Bruno, especially, it looks like he's going to be a doubt for one of those matches. Like, you're on bench boost. You want to maximize this game week. If you have to take a hit in the final game week 38, then so be it. But your higher upside is going to be in this double when you're playing your bench boost and hopefully getting another player in that place twice. So, you know, even though it would be ideal to have two in 38, I wouldn't say that's the end all be all. And most managers are not going to be able to get to a player like Salah anyway. And that's what a lot of managers are holding on to two transfers for. So I wouldn't sweat it too much.
Yeah, take the hit. Get the points today in double game week 37.
Yeah, come on, straight man. To the veins, Bucks. Straight to the veins, baby.
I totally rate that. Let's go to a previous guest and friend of the podcast, FPL Hunt. Connor's asking, go doublers like Richarlison or go Arsenal attackers like Kai Havertz or another single game week player like Salah? Someone help me out here as I can't read good.
So Connor is specifically asking this question because it's about his team. He has Kai Havertz right now, and his move is probably going to be Kai Havertz to Richarlison. But he's actually doubting himself and thinking, hey, maybe I should just keep Kai Havertz, play him against Man United, and then I can move to Salah in 38 against Wolves and captain him. Whereas if he moves to Richarlison this week, he cannot get to Salah in 38. So I told him my personal opinion is keep Kai Havertz this week, play Kai Havertz next week and bring in Salah against Wolves and captain him. I think that's the better option personally, but I think most other people think Richarlison. Paz, what do you think?
I think, and I saw him discussing that in the chat, it just, how much is that extra fixture worth, right? Because usually a transfer is worth 4 points. Do you see Kai Salah getting 4 points less than that? I just don't think so. I think it's not worth it. I think Kai can definitely get a goal against United, right? That's already, let's say, 7 points. Salah can get, again, 10-pointer. Let's say 10-pointer. That's 17. You think Richarlison can get 21 in those three games? Like, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. It's very tough. I mean, he could, but it's just, I would keep that option. And Salah's the biggest differential you will have in 38.
You have to also factor in that Connor is going to captain Salah in 38, exactly, if he brings him,
correct,
in. So you have to double his point. So I like that option,
yes,
a lot.
Yeah. So that's for sure. That's, I would not, I would think I would just avoid Richarlison. He can get benched against City and then you're even more fucked. You didn't get that second fixture. So
yeah, and Spurs suck. Why are we talking about them? They stink. They lost four straight. They're in the relegation zone for recent form. And they're one of the worst teams in London, that's for sure.
That's because Richarlison hasn't played books. That's why.
Pigeon man.
They wear the lily whites. They're just ready to get those clean sheets wiped in those colors.
All right. Next question we have is from FPL Wrangler. He wants to know what to do with Madison. Should I take him out this week, even if it leads to a hit in game week 38 based on his current plans? So I know Paz had mentioned earlier that Madison is off the boil. So what would you do if you were FPL Wrangler here?
I would just make the move, even if it leads to the hit in 38. I just don't trust the minutes, right? Like, he definitely has something. I'm surprised he hasn't started as much lately. But he's definitely dealing with something, and I think even when he does play, like, he's just more of an assist threat. So I would just, you know, even if he leads to a hit, you just never know if that, what option you're going to get in 38. Like, he says it leads to a hit, but who is that hit for, right? So that has to be taken into account as well. I would just take the gamble and take Madison out, play for the upside. I would just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and I think to summarize, I think all of you guys with bench boost are really rating the move of going even Madison or Bruno to Richarlison. I did not expect we were going to get such pigeon love, but it seems like that's the consensus here. And I agree. I think Madison, he's not in form. He looks like he's not fit. And I just think that City match is, you shouldn't really be expecting many points there, especially from a player like Madison. So I just think you're really only getting the Burnley and Chef U fixtures. And yes, they're great fixtures, but I'd rather have three bites at the apple instead of two. And I think it's worth it for a hit, especially if you're upside chasing like Wrangler is.
I mean, if we knew Madison was going to play 90 minutes, I would probably say keep him, but like he used to be. But now he's like, does he even start? Does he come off at 59 minutes? He's not even guaranteed 90 minutes every more. So I think the move to Richarlison makes total sense, even if it leads to a hit. I do want to add, though, Bucks, just going back to Bruno Fernandes, I don't like the Bruno to Richarlison move unless Bruno is ruled out. I just want to add that.
If he's fence sitting like we know you always are, Dan.
That's not
we
on the
love
fence.
It.
I will keep him if he's fit. I prefer Bruno.
Easy, easy. All right, thank you again to all those managers who sent in their hashtag FPL community questions. We always appreciate trying to help you as best we can and giving a voice to the fans out there. So let's transition now to transfer plans and captaincy shouts. What are we doing this week, boys? Everyone have two free transfers? Let's start with the guest, Paz. What's your plan, buddy?
Yeah, I'm looking at just news on Bruno. And then if he's fit and available, I think I'll probably keep him and move Dalo. But then I just don't know who to go to. I haven't really thought that much about that one. So it's looking like those two are my main options. Maybe Romero. Yeah, you know, that locks myself out of Richarlison 38 if I want to go there. But I'm more tempted of getting like a Diaz or like a Saka or Havertz. I'm more tempted to go there in 38 than Richarlison. So those are the two players I'm looking to move out and then hopefully keep two free transfers in 38. At this point, just play kind of conservative. I mean, I'm 5 points away from the top 10K, I think, with the bench boost itself. I can probably sneak into there. So kind of going with the template, protecting myself. And
yeah, not to mention, you're going to get the manager bounce for being on this podcast. So that's one of the tried and true reasons to come on this podcast. All the managers get a nice green arrow after being a guest. So we love that.
Paz, who's your captain going to be for double game week 37?
I mean, yeah, it has to be Haaland. I just don't see myself captaining anyone else. I think now, just going off that though, if you are chasing, right, if you're like I said, if you're like 30K, man, like if you finish 50K and that, just go for it, right? So I think someone like Son is good. He got a 21-pointer last time against Burnley. So, and he always likes to score against City. So that's someone I would look at. Wild one like Richarlison as well. Someone like that would be my second option. But if you want to play it safe, I would probably go with Haaland.
Nice. Let's go to you, Dan. Welcome back. It's good to have you back in the mix. You will be bench boosting and have top 10K dreams, if not higher. So what's the plan for this game week with the three flags in your team?
Yeah, so I'm also waiting on Bruno news. If Bruno is fit, it's going to be Maguire out and Shaw out. And it'll probably be the boring move to Dan Burn for one of the transfers. Considering I'm 8K, I think that makes sense. And then the second one would be either Lewis Dunk or Romero. You know, I don't like either of them, but, you know, you're taking the gamble. You get a bullet header there. If Bruno is out, then I have a decision to make. Either I take a -4 and bring in Richarlison, or I take out Bruno, I take out Cher, and then I play with 14 players on bench boost and don't take a hit, because I don't think taking a -4 hit for any defenders is going to really pay off. So, you know, I might take a -4.
The math on that checks out.
I know. It's difficult. I might take a -4 and take the risk, or I might just play with 14 on a bench boost if Bruno Fernandes is out. I need to think about that.
It depends how dedicated you are to finishing with one of the best overall ranks you've ever had. But if it was just to enjoy the FPL game, I feel like getting another doubler in there could minimize to like a -2, even if he blanks both matches. But
yeah, I would probably do that.
Going in with a dead spot and a bench boost, just like that's anti FPL.
I think Bruno Fernandes will be fit there.
Don't do that. Definitely have to go for the 15.
Yeah,
I think Bruno -4 is a -2, so you're fine.
I don't understand that maths, but sure. Not if you bring in someone like a Man United defender, a -4 is a -4. But anyway, my captain's going to be
-8.
My captain's going to be Haaland. Like, no brainer.
All right, I will just add quickly to Dan's positioning. I have the exact same three problems in my side with three flags from Cher, Maguire, and Bruno. Right now, I'm assuming Bruno is going to be out. I'm, you know, for him to miss a match, I think he's going to be out. And if he plays, what is he going to do against Arsenal? Get his ass kicked, and then you're at home versus Newcastle. I don't love it. So I'm looking at moving him to Kai Havertz, and then I'm going to move Maguire to Dan Burn, and then I'm going to get in White for Cher, and I will have a nice triple up for Arsenal going into the final game week as well. So that'll be a -4 most likely for me. Captain, probably Foden. Once again, just going to ride it out and just hope that variant swings my way. He gets a brace and we get a blank from Haaland. That's what I'm riding on from last week. So fuck it. I'm all in on the Fodinho role, baby.
I'm last up here. Much less exciting. No chips to play, just a boring starting 11 and one free transfer. But I have 5 million in the bank. I'm looking at either Solanke to Nico Jackson or Garnacho to Foden. I probably won't do both for a -4 hit, though. That is something that is...
What? Do you need to start both Solanke or Garnacho?
I need to start one of them, yeah.
Okay, you don't need to start both of them.
I could start both of them and bench Saka, but I think Saka could be a nice differential here. So I just need one of the moves. I'm thinking of going against the -4 hit, but I also have Dubravka. So a hit could be on the cards, and I should have enough funds in the bank to get Salah in for game week 38. So I'm just, my plan is contingent on making that happen. So I think that's why the Solanke to Jackson move might be optimal, because it gives me more funds in the bank. Like you all, I will be captaining Erling Haaland. Brian is wrong and his strategy is flawed. So let's get the points. Let's glow you up. Black Wolf, it's great to have you back. So good to see your face. And Paz, tell the listeners where they can find you. You've been an awesome 2-time guest, and it's so great to have you officially involved in this version of our podcast.
Yeah, no, first, thank you guys. It's been an honor. You know, you guys have had great guests, grew a lot this season, especially in the FPL USA community. You guys have made it huge. You can find me on X on at FPL Paz. I also write for All About FPL. If you want to check some of my stuff out, transfer targets and watch lists. I haven't done it lately. I've been busy, but you know, I put my thoughts out there for the 3 best players to buy each week in each position. And yeah, if you ever want to shoot me out DM or just talk shit in chats, just let me know. Dan knows. You guys know. Just go there, have fun. I won't be leaving any chats, no drama.
That's right. A man of the people. We really appreciate you joining us once again, Paz.
You're all about stepping up, not hitting that block button. And that's why we love you. Wishing many managers some massive hauls once again in double game week 37. Best of luck for Green Arrows and a successful bench boost to the 3 fellow hosts on this episode. And hopefully I will be able to scrounge out at least a gray dot in game week 37. But that doesn't matter to anyone. Just wishing everyone good health, wealth, and lots of FPL points. Thanks, Paz. Thanks, Black Wolf. Thank you to you, Brian. This has been another excellent episode of the FPL USA Press Play Pod. Thanks, everyone.